That is Tall Dark. Start again. Tall Dark Friend and Edge of the World. And that was, I think about 2008, 2009, something like that, wasn't it?
I think, yeah, 2008, I think that album came out.
So you have explored so many different musical styles, your act, which I've seen so many times now, shows that. What have you been working on? What's happened in the last 12 months to you musically?
Well, I'm working on album number 7, which I think does return to what I would consider like an original Tall Dark Friend sound, a bit ethereal, sort of orchestral, with a little bit of electronic stuff sound thrown in there as well. I guess I'm working with the same producer. And we're going for video number 5 with my video producer, and that's going to be, I think everything's got more of a positive sound to it now, a bit sort of, you know, that Bruno Marsy brass section is creeping in. We've got a lot of brass in the new stuff, positive, poppy stuff. I'm having a really good time with the music right now.
And you, and when, if anybody who hasn't seen you on stage, you are so energetic. You've got this, I don't know, this thing comes over your face. Basically, happiness is, I think, is the way it's best to describe it. You look like you're totally in touch with what you're doing.
You have to play every show like it's the last show you're ever going to play. I think that's so important. Not just that, like it's going to, the world's going to end the minute you take your hand off the keyboard. That's so important because people deserve to be entertained. I think people forget that. It's not, it can't be a selfish process. You have to entertain people. That's why we're here. Like, that's why I do what I do. So.
How different is Jordan Gray musically from Jordan Gray 5 years ago? Is there a different difference, you think?
Yeah, I think so. Because I was thinking about this the other day, like, I came at this, I began very organic, just wanted to sound like me. Then I think I tried to sound like what was popular.
Yeah.
Then I thought, oh no, I'll try and be ahead of my time.
Yeah.
And I'll play something that's going to be popular. Then I lost it a little bit, and I thought, no, I'll try and sound like me again. But I've changed since then, so that's not going to be organic either. Now it's just about being positive and being happy. Just authenticity is what I'm going for now.
Okay, you're a very prolific writer. Has that process changed at all? Do you still construct songs in the same way, or has that changed as well?
I think the process, actually, above all, has stayed the same. That's and that's a nice thing. That's an anchor. Album number 8 is already written and scored and everything, so that's ready to go once number 7's finished. We always have an album in the barrel to go. So
that's what I like about you. You know exactly what you want to do and how you're going to do it. I mean, for people who don't know you, you are a completely self-taught keyboard player, and that skill has just developed and developed and are you considering any other instrument now, or are you just quite happy with the keyboard?
I like the technology behind synths and things nowadays. You can have an orchestra at your fingertips with the new machines, which I don't think detracts away from a real orchestra, because that would still be an incredible process, getting in real strings. It is different. But for the term, for the purposes of songwriting, keyboard is good for me. Piano is very intuitive as well. But then I would say that I play the piano. I can't get my fingers around a guitar at all. They're too long. They go all the way around the neck, so I just feel like I'm holding a spoon.
I'm the world's worst guitarist. It's taken 38 years to learn the opening chords of Stairway to Heaven. Still can't do it. Anyway, your new single, Hang With Happiness. How did that happen? And what's the story behind it?
I wrote, there's a track on the new album, Didn't You Know? And it's it kind of stemmed from that. It's a very happy, poppy song about this change that I'm going through, which we'll talk about.
You will talk about that later, yeah.
And my sister's boyfriend at the time said, I like this. You should play more stuff like this. Like, it's just so happy. And the moment he left the room, I sat and wrote Hang With The Happiness. And it's just the same. It's about being positive and sticking to your guns. And but it's, you know, people talk about striving over adversity, but sometimes just knowing that there isn't as much adversity out there as you think there is, and just be happy, just be organic and authentic. And that's what it is. I wanted to write something commercial as well. So.
Let's have a listen.
A remarkable conquest. A life free from all these passions. It's too good to miss. So Missy, listen to me. I make way for the new Duchess.
The list for music was a mission. It was never a contest.
We're gonna hang with the happiness. We're gonna hang with the happiness. We're gonna hang with the happiness. You know it feels so good that I can finally confess. I feel better in a pretty dress. I know it might seem silly, but I really could not care less. We're gonna hang with the happiness. So come on. Look, listen. I'm not the type of girl to be bombastic or drastic like that. That's not me. I
plastic or bend my legs back like Mr. Fantastic. All I really wanna do is thank my fans, cause everything's been perfect since I came out trans. And even all the bully boys that take the piss, secretly wanna bend me like an iPhone 6. We're gonna hang with the happiness. We're gonna hang with the happiness. We're gonna hang with the happiness. You know it feels so good that I can finally confess. I feel better in a pretty dress. I know it might seem silly, but I really could not care less. We're gonna hang with the happiness. Girl, this whole world is a pearl, and I cannot wait to give it a whirl. Lip curl, I'm at the tip of cloud 10. Don't worry, cause you can visit. I'm in love with the world and everybody that's in it. Cause I ain't no goddamn beauty queen. We're gonna hang with the happiness. We're gonna hang with the happiness. We're gonna hang with the happiness. I got my face, I sent to Daisy and it's pointed your way. Change. Try to make it worth it while you're standing on this stage. Now listen, love won't last forever, like a poem on a page. But the sweetest part of a human heart is knowing it can change.
Tall Dark Friend and Hang With The Happiness. And I'll be talking to Tall Dark Friend again in just a moment.
Everybody loves Christmas, and at Into Lakeside this weekend, you're going to love it even more. Whether you're keen to bag a few bargain prezzies, or want to tick, tick, tick it all off your gift list in one go, or even if you just love Christmas carols, festive freebies and scrummy nibbles, then join us for our Black Friday weekend, 28th till the 30th of November, and kick off Christmas in style, with savings of up to 25% across the centre. Visit into.co.uk/lakeside for more details. Selected stores only and discounts subject to change. See individual stores for details.
In these days of social and electronic news everywhere, it's still good to spend time reading a newspaper. And a newspaper that's local, dealing with issues and stories that you want to read about. The Enquirer Group newspapers are packed with news, views, competitions and real in-depth reporting on the stories that are making today's headlines. With excellent sports coverage as well, make sure you pick up your copy of the Essex or the East London or the Thurrock Enquirer today. The Enquirer Group, a newspaper as it should be.
Hi, you're Mikey here. I just thought I'd pop in and tell you about Drive Time on Brentwood and Billericay's Phoenix FM. I'm here from 3 until 6 every weekday afternoon. We do the travel news every quarter past and quarter to. We've got the What's On guide. We've got loads of stuff. Headlines, news at the top of the hour. So that's Mikey Porter, Phoenix FM, Drive Time with St Francis Hospice. Proud of the past and dedicated to the future.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Indeed it is. 20 minutes past one. I'm talking to Tall Dark Friend Jordan Gray. Jordan, we just heard the first play. The second play, because I played that single a couple of weeks ago, Hanging With Happiness. Just go through me with the process. You said Cody's boyfriend and went and gave you an idea, and you just wrote a song. Right, explain more on that. How does that work for you? What comes first, the melody or the lyrics?
The melody, absolutely first. I think music is a language. And lyrics are almost a decoration sometimes. So that if you want to get a message across, sometimes you will have maybe the main phrase, the main headline in your head. Especially, obviously, if you're writing a political anthem, then the words are very important. But no, I know people like Bowie. They just cut the lyrics out of a newspaper and put them in a hat, and they'd grab a few lines and he'd lay them out, and that was the song. And he'd work around some arbitrary structure. So the music has to be catchy. T-Rex is the catchiest thing that ever came out in the 70s. The lyrics don't make any sense whatsoever, but if you interchange them, it'd be the same song. and almost the feel almost would come across as well of each song, I think. So the musical hooks, I think, are what's very important.
I think that's when you're happiest as well, when you've actually got a pen in your hand and, or your keyboard in front of you and just working something out, etc.
It almost happens on its own, and then you take credit for it afterwards. And I sometimes find that process quite uncomfortable. Like, I'm on stage, I'm saying, look, this is amazing, but I'm talking about the music, not the performance, not my performance, because I'm almost just there.
Right, let's talk about your performances, because this year... you and I were up at the same award ceremonies. You won brilliantly. I didn't, but there you go. I thought it was fantastic, because... Just remind everybody, what did you win?
That was such a wonderful surprise. I picked up Best Original Artist and Best Original Song at the Essex Entertainment Awards this year, and it couldn't have been more of a surprise. It couldn't come at a better time either. So, so flattered. It was so lovely.
It was, and what was the best song that won?
The song that won was a song from the current album, See My Bones, and the song is More Than Mates, brackets, You and Me, and you can check out the video for that on YouTube.
Absolutely.
Yeah, More Than Mates.
And what are you up to live-wise these days? Because I know you're quite prolific, you play all over the place, but what's coming up soon for you?
Well, I always think it's a good idea. I mention I have a residency at La Siguana's Lakeside on the third Thursday of every month, 9 to 11 p.m. Third Thursday, Tall Dark Friend, La Siguana's. But from that, it's a lot of Essex and Southeast based stuff. But I'm working a lot on my recording and my books, so I am sort of. I'm not taking a back seat. I just it's actually been a lot of radio. Been doing a lot of radio recently, more so than live.
Well, that's good. That's very good.
I'm enjoying it. It's really fun.
Good, good. Right, let's go away from music, because not only do you write songs, you write words as well, don't you? You've I read your first book, your autobiography, which was I'm not blowing smoke up where I shouldn't, but I really enjoyed it. It was for a first attempt, which it was for you. It was really entertaining read.
Thank you.
But
very much.
Now you've written some novels. So tell us about that.
The first novel, Dog Bless the Day, is available as a download now on Amazon, and I pitched it as Animal Farm meets Fear and Loathing. So you're kind of getting, it's like an animal allegory, almost feels like a children's book when you start reading, but it's very, very grown up. Do not read this book to your children at bedtime.
Okay.
Very proud of it. It's kind of a bit beatnik, a bit Kerouac, a bit psychedelic, set in the 60s, 80s. It's set some time before now.
Okay.
I'm working on the first of a 5-book thriller series, young adult thriller series. Simultaneously, I'm also hoping to publish a scientific paper next year. It's a grand unifying theory of everything, essentially. It's a physics theory, theoretical physics. But I'm in the early stages of that. But that's what's really exciting me right now.
And with your left hand, you crack your walnuts, and now you do it all. Really, so busy. But where did this desire to write come from? Because that's happened to you quite late in your life, hasn't it?
Yeah, I adore language. I think I wanted to be... Before I wanted to be a singer, I wanted to be a writer, and before that, I wanted to be a scientist. So I'm going backwards. I'm moving backwards.
Okay.
It's a language. It's more than the sum of its parts. When you put words together in a sentence, they mean more than the words on their own. I mean, that's inherent. Mm. That's language. That's how language works. It's like music. It's like another language. As I imagine, mathematics is a language that just some people speak better than others, and it's exciting. I love building worlds and building characters, and having somebody tell me that a novel stayed with them is like 100-fold what they tell me if they say they enjoyed a song, because a song is 3.5 minutes, and I pour a lot into that, but it can be done in an afternoon. A novel is a solitary process. It's you pour everything you have into it, and it can you mess with your head, and to have someone come back and say that story will stay with them is the most flattering thing I think anyone's ever said to me.
What about the book's been out there a while now, so what's the feedback been like? And have you read all the reviews, and what did you like reading the reviews? Were they good? Were they bad?
For the autobiography, it wasn't supposed to be a commercial success, so any good review was wonderful. It's sweet. I'm very proud of it. I can't think of an inherently very bad review, just people that didn't quite... they weren't on the same page, and that's fine, because we're all learning things at different times, and it wasn't a commercial endeavour, I know that. I don't mind reviews at all. The reviews for the novel, for Dog Bless the Day, have been wonderful. Got a lovely little sort of following in Scandinavia that has stuck with me through my career, and they're really enjoying it. I'd like to have it translated into Swedish, possibly, or at least the next book. and little pockets in America. So it's getting around. The story's getting around.
Is it, I mean, you've self-published this, and how difficult has that been? How difficult is it to get it? Well, you're on Amazon for a start, yeah. But
It's just, it's fine. It's soul-destroying because I'm not good at administrative stuff. It's counter-intuitive process to art. It's the opposite of art.
Okay.
Going online and filling in forms and, you know, online stuff, it's not the language that I speak. So if you can get over that hurdle, then, yeah, you've got yourself a commercial product. It is two halves of a whole. You have to have the administrative knowledge and the creative.
Do you need somebody to look after you in that sort of area, really?
Definitely. Yeah. I'm appealing live from the radio right now. Honestly, I'm not. This is the worst thing. I can't handle it. My brain just shuts off as soon as anything non-musical or artistic is involved. I have no real-world life skills. I didn't even drive here today. You picked me up today for this radio show. I have no skills at all. Thank you very much for bringing me back.
You've got plenty of skill. You've got more skill in one hand and many others, believe me. You really have got a skill. And I want to talk more about that as well. So the music's going really well. The book's going really well as well. And are there any other artistic avenues that we haven't touched on yet that you want
to...
You're not learning a new instrument. You know? No, you're not going to paint. You know, what do you like at painting?
Well,
oh my God!
If you've seen the third music video, if anyone wants to check out "Tour of the Glass Factory," I think we picked up a Thurrock International Film Festival award for that last year. There's some of my artsy work is in that,
of course, and I have seen it, and I should have known that, and I apologise because.
Saying that was the first time I'd ever painted. That is not my forte, but I'm proud of it. I'm proud of that. That wall was my old garage, and I've recently moved to Scotland. And the people that moved into the house, they came downstairs and they had this horrified look on their face. If you've seen the video, you'll see the art, the spiders and everything. But the guy said, no, you know what, it's fine, just leave it. I thought I was going to have to whitewash over my little masterpiece, but no, he said, leave it, it's fine, we'll deal with that.
Wow. Okay. Right, news headlines next, and then I'm going to play another tune of yours, Zero. So that's coming up really, really shortly. Let's just do the news headlines.
Little paycheck and spend it all on an 8-track so I could tell you in 8 tracks how I feel. I put my faith in the faithless and made a vow to the ancients. Took a leaf from the greatest book there's ever been. One by one, all my whips were spun on just for fun. So praise the God, nobody's listening to me. I can't wait for my first mistake. You get all you want with the pretty face. I never thought I would say this, but love is real and it's ageless. The only thing that it ain't is perfect. Please, you can't obtain what is shapeless. You're not yourself when you're famous. Cause fame is a mask that eats into the face.
Nobody cares.
used bones or old songs. Put them in a box and send them to God.
To Tall Dark friend Jordan Gray is in the studio. You might have just noticed I said in the last she is in the studio because Jordan was here 2 years ago and there's been a change. And perhaps, Jordan, you could, in your own words, really explain what's happened to you in the last, to your personal life in the last, 18 months, really.
Oh, sure, yeah. In a nutshell, essentially, from this summer, I've been presenting publicly as female. I'm undergoing a transition. I'm a transgender female now. I was a male. I presented as male last time I was here, and now I'm a girl, and that's what's happening. So I'll be starting a course of hormones. You know, there's a lot of amazing science behind it nowadays, what can be achieved, and I'm living my life as a female for the indefinite future.
This is obviously a decision you don't take lightly and haven't taken lightly. How long have you felt that you were uncomfortable being a male? You'd rather be a female.
Well, you know what it is. It's a lot of the time. It's I remember being young and thinking not that I was a girl, just that I wasn't a boy. I was very bad at being a boy. But there's it wasn't like I'm not a boy, therefore I'm a female. It's just uncomfortable. I'm sure a lot of young men.
What do you mean by that? You didn't instantly pick up a football, or you didn't shoot guns and all that.
Exactly.
Didn't play cowboys and Indians or.
No, a lot of young men, I imagine, do feel very disenfranchised by society, feel like they're not fulfilling their masculine roles, therefore what are you supposed to do? But it's more than that. As you grow up, all that it means to be transgender is that the pressures that society put on you for the way you look, my psyche is ill-met. It doesn't meet those demands properly. I can't deal with being a man. I don't have that skill set in me. I've had to learn and cobble bits together the best I can, but essentially, the moment I realised I was inherently female, everything clicked, and, you know, I'm 11 months sober now as well. That's something I'm very proud of. I'll be a year sober on the 23rd of December.
Wow. Are you really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of the work has come from that, because I remember thinking I was like Ernest Hemingway when I was writing. I thought, I was a genius, this is amazing, all this creativity, and then I got sober and edited back and realised it was very cliche and terrible. I had to go over it again. But, it helps with the transition. Your body has to work very hard to redistribute the fat and things, and when I start these hormones, so being sober is going to help that process along. So I just thought that was a good idea.
So the sobriety, did that come with the decision to change your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's it's just part and parcel. Alcohol does terrible things for your brain. You can rationalize it all you like, but essentially when you stop, things get better.
Would you classify yourself as a heavy drinker then before that?
I'd say, yeah, I did. I drink quite a lot. But then this sort of lifestyle, the artistic lifestyle, it does lend itself to that when you don't have daytime commitments. All my work would be in the evening and weekends everybody else is going out. So you're in those environments where people are there to drink. So it almost
absolutely,
seems
normal.
But now I'm a million times better. Have you ever seen that movie Limitless?
Yes, I have.
It kind of feels like that. I can't run at the speed of sound or kick. Yeah. I don't know karate in here. Yeah. But it does feel like my brain has switched back on. So only a matter of time and I'll be leaping from buildings and flying around and super intelligent and stuff.
I remember once you said to me that you sleep was a problem for you as well, that you had difficulty sleeping and that you were a bit of a night bird. You were very creative during the night as well. Has that calmed down a little bit? Are you sleeping better now? Or
I'd say mood is just a sort of steady 8.5, 9. All mood is just leveled out. When you stop drinking, there's no peaks and troughs, you know, to your mood. You can just decide how you feel about the world and stay on a constant level of that. And you don't get stressed out as easily, because you're essentially, what alcohol does to you is it lowers your inhibitions and makes it difficult for you to deal with stress in the sober light of day. Once you're always sober, the little things really don't matter anymore. Making this transition, I mean, there is negativity. It is completely outweighed by the positivity. People have been amazing, but
I was going to come on to that. Let's talk about friends first. Your close and best friends. How were they? Did anybody say, "Don't be silly," or "Have you really thought this through?" Or were they ultra supportive?
For the most part, ultra supportive. Absolutely wonderful. And because of what I do for a living, I think a lot of people jump to the conclusion, this is just Jordan being quirky, this is a drag act, this is just this is just Ziggy Stardust, maybe.
I'll be honest with you, that when I can't remember, I think it was the video we were talking about earlier, when you painted in the garage, I think the last shot of that, or it might have even been the one after Corridors,
that's right.
Where This is pop. The final frame of the video, you're wearing lipstick.
Yeah.
I thought, you look good. You look good as a woman.
Well, thank you very
much. And there you do. That's how it started when somebody. I became aware of that. And your friends have supported you all the way through that.
Yes. Now that they realise that it's. It's
more than an act. This is real.
It's divorced from the act completely. The act would be going ahead regardless. It's just a coincidence. So when people say, we've got to all that friend a drag act, say, no, I'm a trans female. I just happen to be a recording artist. Yeah. I could be doing anything and this would be happening. Now that they know that, 100% supportive. It's like I was a female my whole life. And I get to do all the things again. I get firsts again, if you know what I mean. I get to do things for the first time that I've never done before as a female. So... life's just wonderful right now, honestly. I can't.
Good. Let me ask you about, what about your parents? I know your mum has been very supportive. What about your dad? What was your dad's reaction?
Absolutely the same. No, wonderful. I was more terrified about telling my father.
Yeah.
I can't believe I had to do it by text in the end, and I said that in the text. I said, I can't believe I have to do this by text. Hmm. He just called me back instantly. I think he was driving, so that's naughty, but it was an important moment, so fair enough. Yeah. And he said, you're always going to be my kid. I don't care.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. I can't believe I was so scared, and I urge anyone out there that...
yeah.
Feels that trapped to really give it some thought, but essentially, it's not as scary as you think it's going to be.
Your brother and Cody, we're all
wonderful. Everyone deals with it in their own way, but I really do feel now like I'm their big sister. They treat me like that, and honestly, no, it's the family situation. It went as well as it could possibly have gone. Yep.
Are you going to fight Cody for stuff in the wardrobe now?
She's given me quite a lot of stuff. Every woman that I stay with has given me stuff. Like, this what I'm wearing right now?
Yeah.
All this, apart from this lovely Tall That Friend thing that I've got made.
Yeah.
It's all hand-me-downs from very generous people that I've been staying with. I'm couch-hopping right now, I've told you. I'm couch-hopping around Essex. Everywhere I stay, I get a new pair of jeans or a new thing or earrings or something.
So nothing, I mean, as far as the act's concerned, nothing's changed. You're still Tall That Friend, you're still Jordan Gray.
Absolutely.
But you're just a girl instead of a boy. That's simple. Okay, let's have another song for you. Now you did this. This has come up as an acronym on the song. YOLFO. What does that stand for?
YOLFO. You only live forever once. This is literally my favourite thing that we've recorded so far. It's quite recent.
How recent?
Within the last 4 or 5 months. It's from the forthcoming album as well as Hang with the Happiness.
So. Okay, let's have a listen.
You'll never have a Merc while you're working at TK Maxx. And you'll never get to work as a clerk with an old hatchback. Cause you never see a girl with a boy in a car like that. Unless there's been a little bit of tit for tat. We go, right, oh, hello, we come and we go. Took all the strength from our little hearts. Right, oh, hello, too late to run. We love to fly to Atlanta but can't afford. Working off a debt from a bet that I can't pay back. And I'm barely keeping up with the rent and the council tax. And even though we haven't got a lot, baby, let's face facts. We just want to get a little bit of sun to back your suitcase, darling. Love is the way forward in this bed you've made for me. Be my little sugar baby. I'm
hearts. While you're alone, too late to run, we love to fly to a land of bars. We'll live forever, once, then never again. 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 We'll live forever, once.
Told our friend, you only live forever once. Be chatting to Jordan in just a bit more after we've heard from the Beatles. Father Christmas is tomorrow. Jordan Grace in the studio. Jordan, we were just touching on the huge changes to your personal life this year. I think one thing that was really good for you, the Essex Entertainment Award, apart from all that, was the first time really, for the first time for many people they've ever seen you, and to appear as a woman. And you got a fantastic reception, didn't you?
I did. I went in. I wouldn't say I was sceptical. I mean, I know the people. They're a wonderful team of people. But I certainly wasn't expecting to win, for one thing. It is really nice to talk to an audience en masse that has never seen me before, because people that have known me obviously know that I was born a boy. That's just the way things are. That's never going to change. You have to make your peace with that. To be able to accept those awards in front of my home county as well, it was so amazing. I am hoping to work with these people a lot more in the future. It's a wonderful organisation. The Factor Essex team have been so good to me.
Just touching on the transgender thing a little bit more. This is nothing that can be dismissed lightly. It's a very, very serious decision you've taken. You will culminate with surgery eventually,
yes,
down the line.
Absolutely.
But I don't think the law allows you to do it immediately. Do you have to have the surgeons have to be? Is there a psychiatrist? How does the process work? Does a psychiatrist work and make sure that you are absolutely certain of what you want to do?
Every single person's transition is tailored to them specifically. So some people, if you come in presenting as male in your first appointment, chances are it's going to be a long time before you're eventually given the chance to take the hormones. You've eventually prescribed the hormones. I was living full-time as a female since last winter, publicly. So I just went in, and I said, this is me, I need to do this. And the doctor said, we understand that you understand the risks. We know this isn't a fashion statement. It's not a life choice either. It just happens, you don't have a choice. The only choice is to not do it and be miserable for the rest of your life, and I didn't want to make that choice. You have to let it happen.
So how did the day arrive when you went to bed as a boy and you dressed as a girl? And did you sit down with your, I know you're very close to your mum, did you sit down and say, right, I'm going to do it on Thursday, or did it just gradually happen?
As you say, like in the music videos, I got a chance to kind of put that out there.
Yeah.
Which is a double-edged sword, because it's a way of sort of testing the water, but at the same time, people do think, oh, that's a bit quirky, that's a quirky
new
subject. So it happened gradually. For some people, it's an overnight thing. I know I've spoken to people that have, it was a, let's do this on Friday night, that's it. And then, then from then on it's full time. But for me, T-Fest 2000 and this year, is it?
Yeah.
I went on stage in front of Thurrock as a female without any mention that was going to be happening, and it was wonderful. I had a great time, and from then I thought, that's literally it. Now that's never. I couldn't play a gig as a boy now. It's ridiculous to think I would ever go back. The live performances spurred me on, I'd say, and it was a gradual thing. But T-Fest, from then on, publicly, female. I'm female. I'm a girl now.
And that's what we shall regard you as forevermore.
Thank
so,
you.
And I admire your decision. It's something that's certainly not an overnight decision. It's something that obviously that you're now more comfortable with. Right, let's get back to the music and the book writing, etc. So, you got a new album coming out.
We have this conversation quite a lot. It's like it's coming out, but I'm not good with this administrative stuff. So there's no
anybody out there. We need a manager.
Yes,
come on,
please. all that stuff, all rolled into one.
Because you were with one of the Walker Brothers originally, weren't you, a long time ago?
Yeah, I was working very closely with Gary, the drummer from the Walker Brothers. Wonderful man. Just he was very famous in his time for three or 4 years. The Walker Brothers were on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
But times have changed, and it's difficult for anybody to keep up. I can't do it myself, and I'm not sure why should I expect someone who was famous in the 60s, 70s.
Yeah,
to understand how things work now. But, you know, it was a lot of wishful thinking, I think, and that has always been the case. I've gone through a few regimes, and we have a great time together, but nothing really gets done. I think we just have too much fun and not enough emphasis is put on pushing the brand. Because I don't want to be a brand, to be fair, but I understand it's almost a necessary evil to get to where you got to be. It just messes with my head. I'm not good at that stuff.
Okay. The book, well, you've already said you're writing a series of five.
Yeah, and the one I'm currently working on now, I guess simultaneously, for readers, listeners, readers, for listeners of a certain age, we'll remember a movie, Westworld, with Yul Brynner.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of got that kind of vibe to it. And what always happens when I write a book is I'll get halfway through and someone will have a look and go, well, that sounds a bit like something else. Brilliant. Okay. So this one's a bit like Westworld.
What do you mean there's a woman with an umbrella who comes and rescues children?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, that story's been done already.
Oh, no, I'm going to have to take the iceberg out of this film, this book about the boat that I'm writing. Blimey.
Okay. Oh, right, okay, okay. Well, lovely to see you. And,
thank you so
really
much
enjoy chatting to you. And wish you luck with everything you do, but particularly this time, you know, with your private life, and I know it will work for you, and it's good to see you as happy as you are now. So
thank you. I could not be happier. This is wonderful. Thank you for having me back, and hopefully I'll see you very soon.
So let's end with one of my personal favorites, and a song that probably your biggest selling, and this is, of course, you're probably sick to death of hearing this now.
Is this Candle in the Wind?
No, this is Corridors, of course. Jordan, thank you very much indeed for your time.